I don't know about you, but I'm really hungry for Jesus. I mean, I just love him. I just think he's awesome. I presume that's why you're here. Because who else? I mean, why else would you give up a Friday evening when Strictly's on? Did I say? I said it's a Saturday. I'm totally out. I'm still in yesterday. Well, if you're going to give up a Saturday night, you must be hungry. And where do I start? You special people. Gosh. Oh, has anyone ever, like, read the Bible? Anyone read the Bible? Just check it. Have you ever read Revelation? Do you ever read, or do you get a bit scared by that book? It's a bit too much. This is one of the things that stuck with me for, I don't know, last 3 years, is a bit that's, it's in chapter 19. Except it's on an iPad, so you can't see it very clearly. It's just rubbish there. 19, verse 6 to 8. And I'm not preaching from that passage, but there's a phrase in it about the marriage of the Lamb, and I'll read it out to you. It's a song that has not yet been released, but is already there. This is the wonder of the heavens and how it works. It messes with your head in terms of time. So this is a song that John is hearing. That hasn't yet been fulfilled, because they're going, and I can't do the sound of it, but because I ain't got a big enough voice, and I don't want to destroy your ears or the microphone. But it says that it's like mighty peals of thunder crying out. So if you imagine a load of thunders going on, and they are speaking, the thunder has got words and tone and voice to it, and this is what the thunder. This is like cosmos shaking thunder is declaring, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Wow, he reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride, love this, who's the bride? And the bride has made herself ready. It was granted to her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. White garments. Whenever it says white garments in the scriptures, the word actually means like luminescent, bright. Bright garments. You know, like when Jesus went up the mountain to pray and he starts to glow. Bright. We've been given bright garments. But it says the bride has made herself ready. You know, something so exciting is coming. There is something being revealed from heaven which is way more than any church structure currently on earth can handle. There's no denomination that has got an inside track on this. There's no church meeting that can handle this. What is coming is extraordinary. And it's going to be the marriage. The bride will be ready and this marriage supper will happen. And it talks about a city. This is really, and the trouble with Revelation, it's really hard to get your head around because it's so different to what you normally used to. And B, so many people have written books on it and given us 57,000 views on different things. But here's John, he's watching this city come out of the heavens. Only this city is the bride, because the angel tells him that. So this is the bride, and it's this beautiful cube coming down from the high mountains, on a high mountain, and it's coming down, and it's gold, and it's got beautiful gates of pearl, whatever those mean, they are significant. It's coming down out of heaven. The bride is coming down out of heaven. We have the mentality that somehow we have to reach up to God. We have the mentality that we are going to go to heaven, when actually this is saying the bride is coming down. That's confusing, because that doesn't fit with loads of understanding that was thrown at me. And I think that we've subconsciously picked up there is something being revealed from higher realms. Here's the other thing, that when we say higher, the problem for us, we think physical, so we think high, you know, that means so it must be coming down, like, I don't know, somewhere on the stratosphere. It's going to come from, say, Mars, it's going to hit the stratosphere, and it's coming down because it's physical. It's not physical. When it says high, the physical realm is an echo. It's a pattern of the spiritual realm. So high isn't physically high. It means like ultra high dimension. Like when you are high, you see and cover everything. So God is on the highest mountain. He sees and covers all. And out of him is, out of that realm is coming this bride that's going, yeah, we're going to get married. And that's exciting. But why is it exciting? It's because God is preparing this. It is, you can get yourself ready, but he is doing something in his bride to make them ready, to give them white garments so this can happen. Something's got to explode here. You know that bit? I'm going to build up to something. Bear with me. I know this. Ooh, Shabba. Have you ever read Acts 2 when Jesus leaves? Have you read that? Now I reckoned I had that down to a T, because I've seen the paintings that the old masters did and I've seen how it works. See, Jesus is there like this. He's actually got one leg higher than the other. And they're all looking up and he's going. There's a fluffy cloud coming by and he's going like this. And he's going up. And I just, whenever I read it, that's kind of, I don't know what mental image you have. I had that kind of mental image, that they're all there talking to Jesus, and then he says, right, it's time for me to go now, and he starts to levitate. But it goes to extreme levitation, he starts to fly, and he disappears into a cloud. And then the really puzzling thing is, two men in white appear, so I can see that's supernatural, that's clear some crazy happening, and they say to the disciples, in the same way that he left, he's coming. So I therefore think subconsciously, out of a fluffy cloud, Jesus is going to come like this, and he's going to go, and that's it. Only I was meditating on this, and actually I had a conversation with an angel on this. Is that okay to say that? And he said, you got it totally wrong, Paul. You don't understand this passage at all. So it sent me on ages going, well, what is it then? What is it? Help me. And the problem is, for us to grasp something, usually loads of different other understandings have to fall into place. So we're looking at something going, I don't understand this. Why is this happening? You know, like, you know, you can look at suffering and go, why is this happening? Why is this happening? But it takes a load of other tumblers in the lock to fall into place before eventually, wow, I get it. For instance, I'm coming back to that. We just bought a house in Somerset. It took us just over a year to buy this house. It was one of the hardest battles I've ever been through for various reasons. It was as hard, in my personal experience, as divorce. It was so difficult. We sold our house 3 times. We lost the house we were buying twice. It was traumatic within the family. It was horrendous. And after we'd moved in, and you know, the dust had settled, and we got the house we got, which wasn't the first house that we got, obviously, because everything had fallen through. And I sat with God and I said, God, what went on? Do you ever feel like you need to know that? What went on? So this hunger came in me, and I know if that hunger comes, I've just got to pursue it. I can either forget it and go back to sleep, and switch it off, or I can just keep knocking and go, God, what happened? What happened, God? What happened? So I started to fast and pray, which is, you know, I don't know about you, but I love food. So I find fasting in between meals very difficult. So I was trying to fast. I was eating a lot less. And I'm going, God, what happened? And this, eventually, I was walking across the field, and this angel came up to me. And I'm like, shake, whoa. And it's cool, I love that. We have to learn, don't we? Cass was telling me about this in her experience. You have to learn to give yourself to ecstatic experience to encounter revelation. There's a state that we are designed to go into that enables us to access the spirit realm. At the same time, it's still being glued in a body to earth. You change state. You get a heightened awareness. So I fell into this heightened awareness of this, and I humbled myself before Jesus and said, yeah, angel, what have you brought to tell me? And he said to me, because my question was, if we had the right house, because the first house we walked into, I walked into that house, and God said, this is the house. And we didn't get it. What do you do with that? So this angel said to me, it was the right house. I said, well, are we in the wrong one then? No. But it was the right house. So I said, what happened? And he said to me, I had no preconceived ideas what he's going to say. I'm waiting for this. What was it? My heart desperately wanted to know. He said, no, it was the right house. You were robbed. And because you were robbed, I was equipped to give you sevenfold return. You have been given a house seven times better than the first one. And suddenly, whatever other complicated theologies that might click off in your intellectual head, I was like, whoa. And I sat with Catherine and we outlined what was better in this house than the one we had before. And there's no doubt about it. It was of an order of many times better. And I sat with that, and the angel who came and spoke to me, you can throw stones at me and call me a heretic. He said to me, I'm an angel of the fear of the Lord. And I knew that this was the same process, nowhere near as harsh, but the same process that Abraham went through with his son. In that God tests us, that's a rubbish English word, because it sounds like God is mean, and it tests. He pushes you through a situation where even when it all looks wrong, you so trust in his goodness that it somehow takes you through, and in the end you look back and go, wow! But the test does something in you. You now have much greater spiritual authority to face situations because you have gone through a fire, you are refined, you carry heavenly gold, and it has weight in your character. It's gravitas. It's the true meaning of the word glory. Kabod. Weight. You've got weight. So now when you come in and say, God will do this, it has much more weight because of what you went through. Now, what was the point of saying that? Oh, the point of saying that, I think, is some of us need to know that. Because we're meant to go through tough times, not because God's mean, but because it's shifting you. It means you purchase gold. It changes you. It's a privilege. It's what Jesus went through. And we're following after him, and it shifts you. But we have a preconceived idea. So like I had the idea, God's given me the word, this is the house we should have. Of course we're going to get it. and that's worked many, 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 many times supernaturally before. Didn't work this time. Confusion. What do I do? Go into offence? That's the option, isn't it? God, what happened? Or I'm rubbish, I didn't get... Or you pursue God, until you get through to the courtrooms and find out what happened. Shabbat. So you have an assumption about Jesus is going to come back like, out of a fluffy cloud. Whereas I'm sitting there and it's so much better when you see these things. I said, Lord, can I see the video of what went on? Give me the video. Show me. And I submit to you, need to go and and watch it yourself, because you need to go and see the event yourself, because we all see from our perspective with our glasses. But I'm watching it. And then I did a little bit of Greek, because I think I know some of that, but I'm usually rubbish and trace it back to the Hebrew. But when it says, and a cloud took him, that's the same word that describes the cloud that led Israel. It's the same Greek word that would have come from that Paul or whoever else was writing, like Luke writing from Paul's description, would have taken a Hebrew word and translated it into this Greek word. The same cloud, same word used for when Jesus goes up the mountain and he starts to glow and he talks to Moses and Elijah and a cloud appears. This isn't a fluffy cloud. This is that mystical presence of God that forms. Have you ever been in a meeting where it goes misty? You know, it's actually a little bit misty in here tonight. It just depends how much you're used to seeing it. There's the misty presence of light. It's like a... Well, I can't describe that. It would be all night if I try and describe it. But it's like a cloak that God wears. It's people, angels. It's the absence of distortion coming. So we start to see. That's the cloud that formed when Jesus left. And then it says he ascended. Now we think goes up. But that's not our Hebrews thing. That's not Hebraic. You don't go, wah. To ascend means to go to a higher realm. So Jesus is there. As he's talking to them, the cloud starts to form. He says, guys, I've spoken to you for 40 days. Wouldn't you love to have been in that teaching? What did Jesus, and why wasn't it written down? He taught them for 40 days and he says, right, that's it, guys. I'm going now. He's still talking to them. The cloud starts to form. And this is they watched him go into the heavens. It's plural. So we're talking about the higher dimensions. So he's fading into the higher dimensions. They stared into the heavens. So the cloud is there. Jesus is sort of going back into it, fading into it. And they're staring, going, well, they're probably seeing loads of other stuff. They're probably seeing angelic movements, lights, mountains. They're seeing other stuff. They're seeing other stuff happening. And it's all in front of them in this cloud. And while they're staring, going, two guys in white appear. Now, this is not angels, because it doesn't say angels. And Luke almost certainly would have written the word angelos, angel, because if it was an angel, he says two men appeared dressed in white. Who's going to get white clothes? Two men appear and they say to him, guys, why are you standing here with your jaws open? Why are you catching flies? In the same way as he has gone into the heavens, he's coming back. I mean, that still doesn't give you exactly how it's going to happen, does it? But there's something about increasingly the cloud will form and his presence will come. And it will come. And it will come. And eventually there's a day coming when it doesn't stop coming. And that New Jerusalem breaks in. At the end of Revelation, are you with me? You're still getting this? The end of Revelation, he says this crazy thing. You shove us. God says this. He says, the Spirit says, come! The bride, that's us, says, come! It's like this, come on, come! And they're going, quickly, Maranatha, come! Come quickly, come! And it says, behold, God says, behold, I make all things new. Koinos, new. I make all things new. Something is happening. You've been made and are being koinosed. You are being made new. You are being changed on the inside. And when I say inside, I don't mean in your belly button. I mean in the deeper, real you. You have been shifted and that seed is growing and you are being transformed. God says, I will make all things new. New heaven, new earth. So the whole of this realm is going to new. It's coming. We are not going to heaven in a lifeboat and escaping. He's going to make all things new. Now, I'm rubbish at theology. I've got a master's in it and I realise I know less than I ever thought I knew. And I've given up and I have the 57 opinions on loads of different things and decided that hurt my head and I've stopped that. All I know is some simple things like, wow, something extraordinary is coming. And we're here trying to work out, what do I do in my life? What am I supposed to do? What are the projects I'm supposed to do? What are the things I'm supposed to have achieved by the time I'm 50, 60, 70? What am I supposed to do? You know, it's really simple. You get yourself ready. And you clothe yourself with righteous acts. That's what it says. That is, motions and actions and choices that are in a vibration and harmony with God. That can be simply speaking a kind word to someone at a bus stop or praying for someone with cancer and they get healed. It can be a multitude of things which we on earth think these are just, how are these randomly, what's the strategy here? What's the strategy? What's the 5-year plan? I'll give you the eternal plan. The city coming down out of the heavens. And it won't be the strategy of man that brings that about. And I think it's great stuff. I think I love organising. I think it's brilliant. We do charities and we have projects. And you know, these things are great. But they are our best attempts to manipulate the system around us to bring the goodness of God. But what's going to happen is going to increasingly overwhelm any human demonstration of the goodness of God. And we will shine. There is only one bride. I love what this prophet woman from South America said. I'll quote her, because maybe then you can shout at her if you don't like it, rather than me. She was talking to some guy, and he said that, she said, what do you do? And he said, well, I oversee 5,000 churches. And she went, and this woman has seen some extraordinary things. And she's only told a fraction of it. She says, wow, that's amazing, because Jesus could only handle one. There's only one bride. And the bride, you know, hear me right, the bride isn't Mount Chapel, is it? The bride isn't Mount Chapel. The bride isn't the church structure you're in. The bride is us, wherever we are, whatever system you're in, being transformed. And you can be doing that at the kitchen sink when you're encountering God and yielding to Him. How about making a covenant decision that you will spend your waking hours and your sleep hours in worship? And I don't mean singing songs all the time, because you'd destroy your voice probably if you did that. I mean, like, every moment, learning to turn every moment as an offering to God. Because that's what's going to be in the city. We're going to be every moment, God with us. What is so... Well, I could explode what I'm saying. He's going to make His home in us, with us. Wow! You won't be able to have God without us. Or us without God. And it's going to be a beautiful city through which the river flows, the river of life, that's this constant bubbling life, that the sound of the river is like many voices. Do you get it? Many voices, our voices. The sound of the river is like many voices. It'll be our voices in with God's voice, angelic voice. Life! Something extraordinary is coming. We're not going to solve it by getting a better American president. We're not going to bring the church. We're not going to bring the bride down by making Brexit work really well. You know what? The city is not affected by Brexit. It's interesting, we get so caught up in what's in front of us, don't we? Would you like to step up the mountain one step, maybe two steps, and start to operate more as the bride? That is, you bring God's glory and love to whatever you face. Then you can really shift stuff. Then we will shift the weather. Because the weather will be made kainos. It will change. Because some of the weather isn't good, is it? And I don't mean all the rain. I mean, some of the weather isn't good. There's some not so good things happen, doesn't there, in the Caribbean. And God turns these things for good. And you never hear enough of the stories of the rescues. I mean, I've been in Wyoming for quite a long time. I have been in Wyoming for quite a long time. We had so many miraculous stories of rescue that wouldn't hit the news headlines. So whenever you hear a number of how many died, you don't hear how many were saved. Incredible stories that never make it out. But it's like, we're here to bring in Christ's new reality. He will do that through us. Wow. And I put that theologically awfully, I'm sure. But wow. So we're not just going to write better songs. We're going to release sounds that transform. Wow. And the journey along the way is better songs, but we start to go, whoa, what is it? Whoa, whoa! And we stumble on extraordinary stuff as He starts to reveal. Would you like that? Would you like that more? You see, this is you. And I assume you're the hungry ones because you've come on the Saturday night. This is you. How do you get more of that? I often talk to people and they go, yeah, but how can I have more? How can I do this? How can I make my quiet time more effective? How can I go deeper? How can I move this way? Would anyone like more intimacy with God? Yeah. We're all going to say yeah, aren't we? Shall I tell you a secret? It's not a very nice secret though, but it's a good secret. Don't give him your quiet time. Give him everything. I mean, give him everything. Oh, I can feel my legs going. Give him TV. Wow. Man. So it's hard for me not to watch a film and pray for the director. Because I'm thinking about the guy who wrote it and what he was trying to communicate. I mean, I watched, what's that one about space and time? What's that one called? Interstellar. And I was weeping for the director. Because I could sense his hopelessness in it. Because, no, I won't destroy the story for you. But I could, it's like, wow, what about turning every moment into an offering to God? And if you increasingly do that, because we don't, we hand over probably 1%, maybe 2%, you start handing over more. Wow. I probably should finish soon, haven't I? Shouldn't I? Because I don't want you to fall asleep. I fell asleep in one of my own teachings once. But I think there's a grace here, like there was a grace for relationships. There's an energy in the room. What I mean by that is this: God wants to release. Grace is God's energy to achieve something. And he administers that through angels. And they're in the room. And some of you sitting here don't even realize that you're sitting in a cocoon of thinking, I'm just from Manchester. I just fall through life, stumble through life. This is, if only you know who you were. And it's not that you're amazing, it's that Christ has imparted his amazingness to you because of unconditional love. Wow. And that's you. The whole of the universe looks to you. The least in the kingdom is the ruler over all the kings of the earth. The least in the kingdom is the ruler over all the kingdoms of the earth. The least in the kingdom influences the whole of the cosmos. Because you're part of the bride that will speak like it's real. It's, oh, Shabbat. What was I going to say? I was going somewhere. Sure, it was good. What was it? What was I talking about? There's a grace. There's a grace energy here. There's a group of women who, when I read their story 8 years ago, it came at a time that when I needed to hear that story, and it messed with my life, and it did something to me. They were a group of women who just prayed. No one knew what they were doing. And they prayed 4, 5, or 6 times a week. They were mostly women. There were some men, but mostly women. At the peak, there was 80 of them, and they prayed in secret. And they prayed from 7:30-ish in the evening, because many of them had kids, so they could only do evenings. But sometimes they would pray day and night, but mostly it was just evenings, 7:30 till 1 or 2 in the morning. And they did that 4, 5, 6 days a week. And, you know, you can't just go there overnight. But this is where I was on my journey. It was like a call to come deep. And there's one guy who wrote about them, because he was the only guy who got to witness this meeting, and God gave him permission to write about it 30 years later. And he said, you could say of them, they were more in heaven than on earth. They literally were more in heaven than on earth. He said they would often disappear. He sat in the prayer meetings, he had the privilege of sitting in about 5 or 6 of their meetings, and they would disappear and come back several days later, having been either somewhere else in the world leading an evangelistic crusade, or being in the heavens. He said they would sit, they had no band, great. And the woman who's leading it had a zither. How about that? It's not even a guitar. A zither. And she would strum the zither. And they'd all start to sing in tongues, along with that note. And he says, within minutes, they were all caught up in the spirit. And starting to sing spontaneous songs at the same time, each of them coming out with different verses to a chorus they'd all generated together with the same meter and rhyme. And the cloud came, and there would be angelic feet would manifest in the middle of the room, like physically manifest, just for the whole of the evening. There was a golden door in the wall, just had golden glow around it, and he assumed it was a door to another room in the house, but when later on when he came back to the house after they'd all died, there was no door. And well, the one woman who hadn't died explained to him, she said, the last one called Dora, she said, that was the doorway into the heavens. And he didn't bother to ask anymore, because whenever he asked deep things, they would say, you're not ready to know that yet. You're not ready to know that. Now, when I read that, I got hungry. I thought, wow. I want to live in that. This is the bride. Do you want to live in it? And I think it's possible, even bringing up little kids, to access the heavens like that. I started going, God, whatever I thought I knew, I lay it down before you. Teach me. I think I know what reality is. I don't want to have my understanding of reality. I want your understanding of reality. Break into my days. Break into my nights. So last night, I was in a dream, and then I woke up, and in reality, I was in my office, in the spirit realm, with an angelic movement, with my brother-in-law, talking to him about what we were doing. In my dreams, and then later, and I woke up out of my dreams and went down in the office and we were talking. He messages me at 2:30 and says, is it me or did we just clash shields when we hugged in the heavens? And a load of other stuff. This is real. And it's real. I'm going to release this in the room. Do you know what your dreams are? Do you know what happens in your dreams? I was in the first time this happened for me. Are you okay? You're not falling asleep yet, are you? I was in Ireland, and I'm speaking at a place. It was a crazy week. It was an utterly crazy week. But at the start of the week, I mean, crazy supernatural things happened that scared me. The start of the week, I met this woman, and she came forward to the meeting, open meeting, and she said, can you pray for me? My sister is suicidal. I'll cut it short. I'm suicidal. So I said, sure. Grabbed her hand and I prayed with her. I said, Lord, would you help this woman's sister? What's her name? She told me her name. We prayed. And I said, okay, well, maybe I'll see you at the end of the week as another open meeting. Tell me how she is. She said, yeah, thank you for praying. We must have prayed for about 60 seconds. Two nights later, I have a dream. And in this dream, I'm walking along the beach. It suddenly gets really vivid. Like really real. I'm in a dream walking along a beach, and I can feel the sand between my toes, I can feel the wind, and I looking around, smelling the sea air. It's dark, it's the night, I can see the stars, the sea, I'm right on the beach, the sea. And as I'm walking along, I see this person with their floating in the water with their face down in the water. So I instinctively just run up to this person, grab their leg, pull them out of the water, and pull them onto the beach. I turn them over, I see it's a woman, and as I turn her over, I see her start to breathe. She coughs up a load of water, and then I wake up, and I sit up in my bed like this, and I'm kind of sweating. Wow, that was an intense dream. What was that about? So I'm a good Wailama. I wrote it down, because you journal everything in Wailama, so I write down what I experienced. I wonder what it is. Maybe the Lord will explain it in a month's time or something. At the end of the week, I meet this woman again, and I say, how's your sister? She said, amazing thing happened this week. I said, what happened? She said, she went down to the beach, having got drunk, intending to commit suicide. She ran into the water and wanted to drown herself, so she flung herself into the water. She said she experienced a force pulling her out of the water and turned her over on the beach. She said she knew this was something to do with God. And so she cried out on the beach, as she's now sober, she cried out on the beach, God, I need you. I want to come back to you. He said, her life has just changed around. That was Wednesday. Now Friday, she's just different. Everything has shifted. And I'm there going, oh my goodness. How do you strategize that? You give yourself to God. Any strategy? God, because you're extraordinary. If the veils were taken away, you know we have veils that enable people to go, why can't I see angels? I'll tell you what. If you want to see angels, you're going to have to see other stuff as well. If you want to see angels in Revelation, Jesus says to the Laodiceans, you're blind. You think you are rich, but you can't see that you're beggarly. So they can't see other things as well as angels. We have veils over us that stop us seeing what we don't want to see and what we're not yet ready to see. If you start going, God, lift the veils. Please lift the veils. Work in my heart, lift the veils. Stuff starts to happen. It starts to shake your life so you can see. So now I walk into heaven. You wouldn't believe. If you could stand in my head now and walk. I walk into houses and I can see stuff going on. I walk into fields. This is crazy stuff. I walk into fields and I see dead people. Whoa. Walking around, but they're not dead. They're walking around like they're still here, and they're talking to people, frustrated that people can't hear them. And there's one field where we've moved to, because I'm just assessing my new area, you know, getting used to it, where I notice lots of people have arguments. And there's lots of unseen people walking around arguing. And they try to get people to argue. What? This is spiritual reality. There are people tormented, stuck in this earthly realm all around. This is what we would call hell. Only we can't see that stuff. We can't see the angels poking at people, pressing at people, helping people. We can't see Jesus constantly reaching out to every single human being with constant compassion, no matter what they're doing, reaching out, holding it. Wow, that's extraordinary. Are you ready for that? I'm not ready to have the full intensity. I'm sure I'm only seeing a fraction of what is going on. But the more we let him work on our hearts and lift it, we see, and then we can interact. So then you can bring the heart of God to a situation. And I've talked with non-Christians, and they're telling me, I really struggled with, and I can see they're being talked to by another being outside of them. They go, I really struggle with this. And they go, yeah, I'm not surprised, because I just want to do something. I go, in Jesus' name, shut up, get off, and I do some stuff with that thing. They go, what have you just done? I don't know, but you're going to find it a lot easier now. I think I can't really explain it to you, but you'll find this a lot easier. And they go, wow, something has shifted. Yeah, it's the goodness of God. He loves you. You all think I'm crazy now. Do you want it? It's real. I will finish with this, because I can't believe you're still here. And I'm excited about what's going to happen tomorrow. Because I think there's a grace to engage the heavens more than you've ever engaged before, if you want it. I can feel it in the room. So you get tested on whether you really want it. Do you really want it? And there's a guy who died in the US Army in World War II. He's written a famous book, Return from Tomorrow, where he explains what happened when he died. And one of the things he saw right at the end, because he met Jesus, and he saw all sorts of crazy stuff, and he saw a city coming out of the heavens. He's never read Revelation before. He saw this golden city. This was the last thing he saw. Rushing, it was so far away, but it was so bright you could see it, because it was so bright. And said it was rushing towards, and when he saw there were people in it, and when he saw two people in it, when they saw he was looking, they came out of the city and ran towards him at great speed. But as that happens, Jesus takes him and pulls him away at even greater speed and throws him back into his body. And he comes alive again. He was dead for half an hour. And they didn't think he would come back. He was on a mortuary slab. And it's real. That city, that bride, is being revealed. Thank you, Jesus, for what you're releasing over these 2 days. I ask for the stirring up of supernatural stuff in our experience, in our dreams, in our thinking, in our feeling, in our encounters, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Shut up. You're free to come.
Well, who wants some of that? Good and bad, though, isn't it? It's good and bad. Yeah. I think we've just got to want Jesus, and then we get what we get. So I think it's quite pensive contemplation with your own thoughts for a moment, and we'll be back tomorrow. What time are we on tomorrow? Normal time in the morning. 10:45 and 6:30 in the evening. So good. Father, we just thank you. Thank you for heaven. Thank you that it's real. Thank you that it's a real place. It's not as we understand places, but it's real nonetheless. And we want to be seeing that cloud and seeing the spiritual world around us. Help us to have eyes of spiritual eyes of faith that can see things really, not just imagining things. Nobody wants to do that, but we want to see what's real. Take away the blinkers that are on us, so we can see you, so we can see what you're doing, what you want us to do, to be doing stuff with you, embarked on the same project you're embarked on. Lead us in those, take us a few steps, and help us not to be afraid. Help us not to recoil and to say, no, that's too scary for me. I'm gonna opt for the easy life. We pray that we'd be thinking, well, the days that we've lived already, that's enough time for living that kind of life. Let's use the rest of our life for a more exciting time. So, Lord, prepare us for it and equip us for it. In the Saviour's name. Amen.